TV?
On a TV part.
After all week long. Another expression we didn't learn yet, but you may see it in some literature. It's called Zuk to Machmas Mius. Which is discussed, I'm not kidding, it's the whole concept. We don't pass it that way, but you may tell you that Zuk to Machmas Mius all week long.
Okay.
You're paraphrasing these halachas. There is such a concept from one to one.
There's a computer on the
computer, now it's open. Now it's much better.
Okay.
And there's I feel better already.
And there's also a book on the part. It's like a
shrimp. Another expression we didn't learn yet, but you may see it in some literature. It's called Zuk to Machmas Mius. It's discussed, I'm not kidding, it's the whole concept. We don't pass it that way, but you may see somebody tell you that you use Zuk to Machmas Mius all week long.
Okay.
You're paraphrasing these halachas. There is such a concept from one to one.
There's a computer on the
computer, now it's open. Now it's much better.
Okay. And
I feel better already.
And there's also a book on the part. That means if it's just a base, then it's not like a secondary part of the base.
Well, we went through the various criteria last week. It seems to me that the computer is worth more than anything else on the thing. It's worth $1,000 probably.
Right.
And therefore, it's considered a bust for the summer. Oh, you can't get any
so can you can't get the book?
Oh, you take the book?
Yes.
Of course, but not the book.
Okay.
No, but if it's... Okay. Books are not poisons. You can't even... Even a fish, you don't know how to touch it. They say you shouldn't touch it, you may move it. But you have to take a little order. No problem.
Okay.
Not at all a problem. Baruch Hashem. Okay. So again, for those who are following in this wonderful Sefer Shomer Shabbos, Kilkosa, I don't know if anyone is, but we're now doing with the 22nd chapter, which is the last chapter in the English edition of the first one. It ends, I think it's in chapter 22, if I'm not mistaken, is where it ends. So I guess officially this is the, I guess you might call the midpoint of the book. Why is it taking so long to get here? Well, first of all, we had a whole other book we started with. We did the Shemir Shabbat page, which we covered fairly short order. So we're on schedule, not to worry about it. But we're finishing up the Perikov Bay is what we're discussing in Mithyship tonight. And then afterwards there are quite a few interesting things we're going to discuss of a more general nature. If I must say, the Prokim that we've had until now, each one's very tight. The next Prokim called Gimel to Chav Ches are almost, it might be entitled miscellaneous. I mean, they're specific cases. A lot of different things. How do you take care of your house? How do you take care of certain how do you take care of your body? And how do you take care of plant life and animal life? And what he called dinim shonim. He himself calls it miscellanea. That's what we're going to be discussing. Then when it comes to, it's going to be after the midterm, I don't know what that's going to be. Some major topics at the end. What are they called? Dine Shabbos b'fiyah Kabbalah. Kabbalah does not mean Kabbalistic. It means Kabbalah is Medivin Abim. Based on the Navi Yeshaya. Kibbutz is the owner. It's a very, very important dinner. And then we have Amir Lenokri. Also very important. We have to go through that at length. One of the most misunderstood areas in Hilchos Shabbos. And finally, less about Pikuach Nefesh. Which is a very, on Pikuach Nefesh, this is safer. He had 10 full chapters. Which relate out of 41. That's a lot of chapters. We will discuss whatever we have time to discuss. And then we'll just come to an end. Try to hope the safe landing. And then we'll have finished all of those Shabbos in 1 year. What does that mean? I mean, we scratch the surface and we get upset if you learn a few things.
Next
week's seven. No, I don't think so. I doubt that. But it'll still be around in 2 years, I'll probably tell you. If I'll be around, if you'll be around in 2 years, then we'll be able to probably start again. We'll have a different cycle, I think. Who knows, we'll see. Time will tell. Let's talk about today first. So we're on my Muksa, Perikov Beis. We did Perikov last week, Kabbalah Vayantuk, and now we're on Kabbalah Beis. So here he begins by introducing a concept which is important. It's called Migu Diskatsoi. It's an Aramaic, so I'm using Aramaic terms, but I'll use a Hebrew term. Mitoch Shehukzeh. Mitoch, since Shehukzeh became Mukzeh. the full expression in its glorious Aramaic is Migu diskatzora leben hashmoshos diskatzora lechul hayom, or Vitok shehuktza leben hashmoshos huktza lechul hayom. Whatever is muktza during the ben hashmoshos period is what marries the muktza for the entire day. That's a mouthful. Now that means that the ben hashmoshos is the critical moment to know when something is really muktza or not. We already mentioned this last week. Do you remember that? We spoke when we talked about the base, about the buses. We pointed out it's considered a buses for the entire Shabbat if it was a buses during ben hashmoshos. That's between sun, the twilight zone. Between the sunset and the time the stars come out. It's about a 20 minute, half hour, around that amount of time. If during that period of time it is muktza for whatever reason, we discussed the various aspects of muktza last week, then if they remain muktza for the entire Shabbos, even if the raison d'etre, the reason of the original muktza will subsequently disappear, no matter, the status of muktza remains. Okay, this is called legal discatsoi. This is a very important principle, and it comes up in many, many cases. We're not going to discuss most of them. We're skipping a lot over here this week, because we have a certain schedule we're trying to keep up with. So you'll forgive me for skipping details if you see them here in the Hebrew or English edition. But this is one important proviso that was introduced here by the Shmir Shabbat and the Shulchan Aruch. The only time this is true, is a matter of dispute to be shown in the Gemara, is if it's called the Chiyah B'Yodayim. The Chiyah B'Yodayim means you made a muktzah with your own hands, your own actions. But if it was muktzah not because of your own actions, it's muktzah plain, whatever reason, then this principle does not apply. Let's give examples. You have an oil menorah. You light the oil menorah, and it glows for 5 hours and goes out. So the entire menorah, with whatever oil may be left over in the menorah, is considered to be muktzah. Why? Because ben hashmoshes it was muktzah. Ben hashmoshes, you set it aside, you lit it, and it was blowing fire on it, you couldn't go near it, and therefore it's considered muktzah for the entire day. Even though now the oil is plain oil, the light went out already. You still can't use it. That's a far out. Salad dressing, it's not really very practical. In a more practical case, you were late with the laundry, and let's say you're in Eretz Yisrael, and you put the laundry, even here, put the laundry on the line just before Shabbos. Well, I'll go further than that. You put the laundry in the dryer just before Shabbos. So you have a kind of a dryer which you can open and no light goes on. They have some dryers where the light goes on, and some dryers where the light doesn't go on. You take away the light. Can I put the stuff in the dryer 5 minutes before the suspension? It takes an hour to dry, and then when the hour is up, I'll pull out the clothing, and then voila, I have a clean, freshly laundered and dried clothing. So the answer is prohibited. And the reason is, it was muktzah ben hashmoshos, because you wet it. You put it through a washing cycle, now it's dripping wet, you can't wear it at that time. And therefore, it's considered to be muktzah for the entire day. That's very important. That's the only example I can really think of. This happens on a regular basis. Those who have this habit. I wouldn't do it anyway. Leave your water through. Can you imagine the drive going on Shabbos? Okay, well, a Kal Shabbos, would I put up before Shabbos? I don't understand that too well. Drive, smoke goes out, not a good idea, any of it. But even with a barn, that the clothes would be considered to be in the category of books and such an event. Migu discuss that. Okay. Now, what's the opposite of this? The opposite of this case, which we also discussed last week, was called muktzah lechatzi haShabbos. Something became muktzah in the middle of Shabbos. And then the cause of the muktzah disappeared. So let's say, during the ben hashmoshos time, it was not muktzah. An hour later, it becomes muktzah. An hour after that, it becomes no longer muktzah. Do we say that it was muktzah for part of the Shabbos, it's muktzah for the rest? The answer is no. Only if it's muktzah ben hashmoshes, it's automatically muktzah for the entire Shabbos. But if it was muktzah for an hour subsequently, and then the cause of the muktzah disappears, it now reverts to a status of non-muktzah. Let's say, for example, you have clothes that were dry during ben hashmoshes. Then it got wet, some kid poured a whole bucket of water over it. And then it was absolutely unfit for use, drenched. Then it dries. An hour after that, or the next day it dries. You're permitted to use those clothes. You follow me? You get the reasoning behind it? I call Ein Muktzel Chatzi HaShabbos. If it was only looked for the middle of Shabbos, not the very beginning of the Ben HaShemashos period, then it became permissible after the cause of the Muktzel disappears. Yes? No. The only time we said that the Migud is Katzoy applies was if you want to Ben HaShemashos, Muktzel Ben HaShemashos, automatically Muktzel for the remainder of Shabbos, even if the reason disappears, only if the original book was Dokka V'Yadayim, you made it Muktzel. Opposed to a case in which it just sort of became Muktzel by itself.
And then if you made it Muktzel with your hand, finish Russia, it's
automatically, even though the reason disappears. Yes?
So you're recommending like setting the dishwasher?
Setting a dishwasher before Shabbos?
Yeah, like you said it before Shabbos too.
It seems to me that there's nothing wrong with that because the dishes were fit for use even before Shabbos. Dirty, so you take them out of the dishwasher and take some water and like and wash them. So that's considered to be fit for use.
So
right?
It's okay.
Ah.
No, because you have to plug that.
Well, in the perspective of books, it's okay. I don't like it. It makes a lot of noise. It made it to Maris. I have a question and there are other questions involved. But I can't prohibit it, strictly speaking, as long as you put it on before Shabbos. On Shabbos, it's out.
No, you put it on before Shabbos. And then it's okay.
Why would you want to do that, if I may ask?
To say you don't want to wash the dishes that you use Friday night.
Start again.
You put on a timer. You can't because right. When you turn, oh. It has a lock though. It has a lock though, and it makes it go
on. Change the story, 180 degrees.
I like how you understood. You put it on
the floor. What I understood. Now they understand it, they know how to do it.
Okay. Not
understand.
You're not allowed to
absolutely
so
prohibited.
So when you put that on?
To use a dishwasher.
We're using it on Shabbos, not before Shabbos. Change the question.
Yeah, but you're not using it.
Are you putting it on?
I mean,
you're not using it.
If you set it before Shabbos.
Set it before Shabbos.
It has a timer.
No.
If you set it before Shabbos, listen to me. If you set it before Shabbos, leave it closed.
Yeah.
But it has...
Listen to me. Leave it closed from... before Shabbos, and then it goes on in the middle of the night, that's okay.
No.
You want to load it on Shabbos? Right. Absolutely not allowed. Absolutely not allowed. Absolutely, positively. Yes.
It's not allowed because the dishwasher has
that. Why it's not allowed?
Because it's a safety thing, right? That you
that's
can't
right.
close it.
That's right. That's right. You are
that safety thing that you have to close it before it goes on.
You are activating the dishwasher on Shabbos. How so? When you lock the dishwasher, that's a switch. You lock the dishwasher.
Is she talking about like locking it or?
It won't go on if you don't lock it.
Wait, she wants.
It will not go on if you don't lock it. Unless you disable the dishwasher. Illegal and dangerous.
Wait, I'm very confused. Okay. You're not allowed to load the dishwasher, right?
You're
allowed. You're not allowed to load it?
Sure.
Hand turn. Isn't that preparing?
Well, we discussed that a little bit when we learned at the beginning of the term. Next, we'll come to it later with Akhada. In my opinion, we do it at my house. We load the dishwasher every Friday night. But we load the dishwasher basically to get the dishes out of the way. Where did we put our dishes before we had a dishwasher? We put them in the oven. We hit them in the oven. We don't have a very small kitchen. We didn't put them. We put them in the oven. Ugh. We went nowhere else to put it. So we bought a dishwasher. Now we put it in the dishwasher. But we don't put it on until after our
dog. I
don't consider it to be that fun. We're not doing it at the same time for the shower. We're doing it to get it out of the way. The best way to get out of the way is the dishwasher.
Yes. So, but do you use the same dishes on, like if you load it up right now, do you use the same dishes to bad now? Because you...
That I'll ask you a question. Some dishes are washed enough by us in the house Friday night to use on Shabbos.
Right.
Some dishes are either put on Friday night into the dishwasher, we're not going to use them in Shabbos afternoon. And other dishes we use in Shabbos and put into the dishwasher, so we're not going to use those on Shabbos. And then we load it just to get out of the way. And then on after Shabbos, and when Shabbos is over, then we it's open. Shabbos is not a fly on Sunday, but on Shabbos you're not allowed to do it. Yes. Folding laundry. That's a major issue, but we're not going to up to that yet. Which one? I don't know how we got onto this either.
Sorry.
You're learning about books. Oh, you're right. It's my fault. I gave you the example of clothes. Yeah, it's a problem. Yeah. Double problem. One is, of course, hakana. One is the worst problem, because folding clothes along specific creases. Towels have no creases. If the towel has no crease, then it would not be, it would only be a problem of our which sometimes wouldn't apply.
Yeah.
You want to use it on Shabbos, could be it's okay. Could be. Yes? Folding napkins are okay. Do you use them on Shabbos table?
Yeah.
Sure. Everyone folds napkins. The hummus. The neighbor. I don't know. Yes? You light a fire. The oil, I gave an example. You light an oil menorah. So with your bare hands, you made that oil look expressed. All of your dark. You did it, you took an action. You made an action. You went to a positive action. As opposed to which is supposed to by default. Okay? Is it clear? What's hooked by default? Good question. What's hooked by default? What's mukta by the fool? Mukta by the fool would be, for example, let's say, the example will come to a little bit later, but it's a good example. Nola, how do you know? Wow. Nola. Something which is sort of a change of state. Okay? There are other examples, but a good question, what examples are not included? But there are certain examples that are not included. I want to give another example. Yeah, let's say something which is called Mukta Machmas Isser. We didn't even discuss that, did we? That wasn't one of the categories. But we had Mukta Machmas Mirus, which we threw in, which we don't pass in life, only the TV. And then it's Mukta Machmas Isser, which means something is inaccessible because we can't access it without violating a prohibition. Okay? The only way to access it is through a prohibition. And somehow on Shabbos, the prohibition disappears. No longer prohibited to access it. What's an example of that?
Going to the bushes to get warm and free.
Maybe. Let's say there's something which is locked up in the house, and the only way to get to it is by breaking down the door, which would be passed to the prohibition. No other way in. So that's called Mukta Machmas Isser. Then, because lo and behold, on Shabbos, the house collapsed. And now you can go take it. But the poskim say you're allowed to take it. What happened to the principle of Nigudas Katzoy? But on Shabbos, it was considered to be in the category of Kutzoy. But it wasn't thought to be a dying. A little bit far out example, I admit. Maybe we'll come up with some more plausible one as we go. You remind me, if something comes to your mind, that moves to Machmas, which is not Dachav Yadayim, let me know if you think of an idea. I can't think of anything right now. What's a good example? Why can't I give a good example? Maybe the Mishnah Berurah will give me an example. I don't know. I can't remember one right now. Let's see if it gives me a good example. Here's a case. An animal is looked so. It's not dog of your diet. Who cares? What happened to the animal? Well, Shulchan Aruch says the animal was subsequently slaughtered. Slaughtered an animal on Shabbos? Yeah, someone was sick. It's a little far out, but someone got sick and slaughtered the animal, and now I want to eat the meat raw. So it's not considered to be mukzah because it was not dacha miyadayim. What an everyday occurrence. That's the Mishnah Berurah's case. I don't know.
Everyday
thing. What can I tell you? For the moment, but now we haven't gotten too practical on that basis. I'm sorry. I should have thought about it in advance. Oh, you know what? Bring me the mukzah book. Who has the mukzah book? Upstairs, Beis Medrash? Bring it down. We won't come up with it. Thank you. I forgot to bring it again. Thank you. In the mukzah book, he'll probably have some kind of example. I hope you're a little bit less rare. Find out. Okay. That was very good. Okay. Now. Okay. Right. At that point, it's unusual. You can't use wet clothes. It's fresh. You can't use it. You can't. It's fresh. Stopping wet. Okay. Now we keep chipping away at this legal discussion concept. We chipped away. We said it only applies to dacha miyadayim. Another chip. It does not apply in the case the Gemara speaks of calling it. Gomro bidei adam, at least Hebrew. Gomro bidei adam. It's gemar. Gemar means it's completion. In this case, completion means it's becoming ready. It's being made usable. It's bidei adam. It's in my hands, the human hands, to see to it that the object which is presently unusable will become, in fact, usable. Let's give a couple of examples. The Gemara says, how do you eat anything on Shabbos? Let's say you have, let's say you have hot soup on the fire. And Be'er HaShemosh, that soup is so hot, you burn your tongue. The soup is simply inedible. It's absolutely boiling hot. You can't go near it. So then, what do you do when you do? You take it off the fire, you take a ladle, you put it to a cliché, a cliché, you blow on it. And then it becomes soup which is good to eat. But Ben Ashmash to the book, so Gaval, how do you have chicken soup on Shabbos? No one can prohibit chicken soup Friday night in this room and get away with it. Impossible. So how do you have your chicken soup Friday night? But came to Ben Ashmash's, it was unusual, it was too hot. The day was roast goes to Gemara. Boiling, thank you very much. Boiling hot, you can't have it. The answer is, it's in your hand. It's in your ability to knock it out. How would you knock it out? Very simple. Take it off the fire and let it sit. It's in your hand to knock out the mukta. That's called Gomro Bidei Adam. Here we go. He has mukta ben Ashmosh remains mukta. Chapter 20. The principle of Migo. Let's see if you get some more plausible examples of the exception. Gomro Bidei Adam knocks out the Migu story. Knocks it out. Migu, I said before. Migu is spelled, by the way, for your information. M-I-G-G-O. I didn't know. Rules of Migu. M-I-G-G-O. That's how it's spelled. Come on, the first minute I said Migu Diskatsoi. Since it's Mukta, Ben Ashmosha, Mukta for the entire day. Okay? The rules of Migo. Migo. Mm-hmm. Discussion, by the way, I forgot to tell you. The dispute, would it have to be Mukta for the entire Ben Ashmosha to say Migo? Or is it Mukta the part of Ben Ashmosha to say Migo? It's a matter of dispute, and then we said it's better to accept a stricter view. Better. Or it's a matter of dispute. Now, here, hold on a minute. Give me a minute. Oh!
part.
Finally. Okay, a real case. Baruch Hashem, a real case. You have roots of Eretz Yisrael. I limited Eretz Yisrael, but still, actually applies in America too. Roots which grew in Eretz Yisrael, which were untied during Ben Hashemoshes, which became tied on Shabbos. But the problem is, but also not really, you're not allowed to tie them on Shabbos. But if I mistake, you can't take mice on Shabbos. It's also not really. I had high hopes. No, in the same case, animals slaughtered, the cock is done. This. What can I say? Page 244 comes up pretty empty here too. So this is a major principle which has very few applications in the real world. Okay.
What about with
sizing that
you must
unspec,
is that the
follow
and then
the
first of all, you must
unspec
the
wrong and the red.
Well,
first of all, it's successful without unspec, I mentioned you can pull it out. Anyway, let's stop giving examples, give up. Let us have a principle in abstract or a few rare examples. So then it's not considered to be mukta, you can eat it. It's not, I shouldn't say eat it, it's not mukta. It could be prohibited to eat it for a different reason. Because the mice and shabbat, it's so rare. Forget about it. Alright, now, gomro bidei adam. Gomro bidei adam. Here's another example. Let's say you put up shalom just before Shabbos. We discussed how you do this a long time ago, last term. Just before Shabbos, you put the shalom. You want to give a brush, you want to do it, I'm not going into the details. So Ben HaShemosh was inedible. He couldn't eat it. It was raw. The meat was raw, the beans were raw, the potatoes were raw. It was raw. And if I come Shabbos at 12 o'clock, what? Smells of ain't all of Abba. Delicious. Fresh shalom. The book, so what do you say? It wasn't fit Ben HaShemoshes. What's the answer? What's the new cloud? Gomro bidei adam. It was in your hands to complete it because you set the one piece crock pot. Or the, you put it on the black. Okay? So therefore, it's okay. So Gomro bidei adam. Yes? Short bishop, but you cooked it on Friday. You did your action of cooking on Friday. You just continued by yourself on Shabbos. You light a candle before Shabbos? Light Shabbos candles? How do you do that? Burn on Shabbos. So a great man asked that question. The great, great man. Don't feel bad. The Muke Yosef asked that question. One of the famous person in Baba Kama asked that question. All Baba Kama, all places. He answers, so you did it on Friday. So you put up the shawl then, right? So you did it on Friday. So if you go by itself on Shabbos, that's okay. That's alright. Butta. Don't put Alright. Since you put it up on your stove, on the left, before Shabbos, and it's obviously in your hands, that's completed by Shabbos lunch. You put it on a low fire, try to find out when it comes Shabbos lunch, it's going to be perfectly ready. Right? So it's what's called Gomro Bidei Adam. It's in your hands to arrange that it should be ready Shabbos by day or Friday night later. Then you do not apply Migo Discatsoi. Migo. Don't apply Migo. If it's not in your hand, for example, you have the case of the Gemara. You have fruit which are now in a drying process. Let's say there are grapes, you're making it into raisins. And they're most of the way there. You can't eat it with grapes anymore because they're already halfway dry. But they're not dry enough to eat the raisins. They'll be called Yiddish nishtahin and nishtaher. Either here or there. It's not a grape, it's not a raisin. So you can't eat it. But have no fear. Maybe the sun will come out tomorrow and we'll dry them up more so we'll be ready for Shalosh Shuvos. Maybe the sun will not come out tomorrow. You can't control the sun. That's not called Gomro Bidei Adam. It's not in your hands. So therefore, it's considered to be in the category of Migo. And it looks even if the sun happens to come out and the sun is they do dry up. Same with those clothes of yours. You don't know how those clothes are going to get dry. That's a good question. That's a good question. Maybe we should say that clothes are not muktzah nowadays because we have the ability on Shabbos to dry them under a lamp. Will they dry under a lamp?
Yeah, really?
Yeah? Oh, the grapes are eating lamps. Okay. The grapes don't have to be done. This is a very important question. Why shouldn't we say that clothing, if it gets wet, you have the ability to... If you have nobody asked the question, if you live in the summer, Eretz Yisrael, maybe in the summertime, it shouldn't be... You should be like, so we're going to do every day the sun shines, every single day in the summer. Is that true? There's no clouds in the summer. It's always sunny. Right? Is that true? Always sunny. So, that should be like the government. So now I'm asking a different question, based on what she said. You get the sun. In America, you have the lamp. You put it under a lamp. If you have a lamp, which is appropriate, then that's a good question. I never thought of that. No, no. Yes?
Yeah, we always talk about students.
No, I thought about clothes.
No.
It's in your ability under normal prevailing conditions to see to it that this challah gets cooked. How? Do nothing. Leave it on the fire and it'll get cooked by the next morning. That's called gomer bidayot. It's in my hands. It's in my ability. I'm in control of the situation. I mean, we know Hashem is in control. Anything can happen. But I mean, the normal school, the fire won't go out and it won't be this.
And we like the menorah, of course. It's also in your hands.
That's a very good question. Again, you're asking a very good question. I'm on the run over here. It's a very good question. I'll tell you why. It's not, I'll tell you the answer to your question is. When I light a menorah on Shabbos, I never know if any oil will be left over. No guarantees. If you have a very good system of your wick drawing on the... You like kind of get the nose of oil? You never know from one day to the next. Someday, half left at the bottom. Other days, it goes good to the last drop. That's why. It's not your control to have any oil left. They all get drunk up by the wind. That must be the answer. Yes?
Okay. I don't understand. You said before that you put clothes in the dryer before Shabbos, and they get dry on Shabbos, but you can't use them. How's it different than putting water on fire before Shabbos?
Another good question. What's wrong with having... You're right. The example which is given in the post was not a lot washing the drying machine. The example is given on the line. That's a good question. Hold on. Laundry and a dryer. Look at this. Well, it's not a good idea to have the dryer on Shabbos because it makes too much noise. But he does not say, here it is. To give an example. Let's say you hang on your indoor clothesline and the environmental factors are such. Look at this now. This is exactly your case. Look at this. The environment, this is a politically correct word. The environmental factors are such that he can be certain it will dry before Shabbos is over. In this case, he initiates the process of preparing the laundry material bed before Ben HaShemoshes. Completion on Shabbos is definite. It is not Mukta. Who said so? Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe Pashas, that's all. How do you like that? Well, the dryer should be okay. He doesn't like it, it makes too much noise. It's a separate issue. But you're right. The lamp would be good. The lamp doesn't make any noise. Outside, you never know if it's going to have the right environmental condition. It can rain. In America, it can rain any time. That's right. So in Israel, he asked that kasha something about Israel. Here it is. If you want to look it up, quotes over here in Israel. Here it is. It's a footnote book. Wants to know. אם השמש לא רחה, אז יזגר שתוך שעשיים או שעול או שעול. Especially in the summertime in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael שכל עוד יודע שבקיץ לנוח עוד היום ששוב שמש תזרח, And let us call Sabi with the Lord. Lama namar shalom asir da'ata. You think this should be okay? Is that okay? Doesn't quite say it, but it emerges from his logic. Okay? This is going to be day order. Very good. Wonderful. Okay.
Yes.
Now, yes? You're not supposed to make noise at appliances on Shabbos. Even if it's not before Shabbos. Because you're a person called... Better not to. Because you loosen the Shabbos. Consider it to be a disgrace of Shabbos. Because some, by the way, would say, you should have an air conditioner go on the Shabbos. The same reason. What makes more noise, a dryer or an air conditioner? What do you think? Dryer more noise, yeah?
Air conditioner.
Okay, well then I guess Minig is scrolls to have air conditioning going on Shabbos. I need an MPJ or a bunch of shoes that air conditioning going on Shabbos. And they didn't consider that to be a zoo for the Shabbos, there were those, it's on. Right. Okay, whatever. Yes. Now, external considerations with respect to both. Give an example over here. Let's say there was a door which you could not open. I'll give a perfect example. You forgot to take the bulb out of the refrigerator. You can't open it. And suddenly you're about to make kiddush and you realize, whoops, I didn't take out the bulb. Now I'm stuck. What do? You get a guard, you fix the situation. Should we say that it should be muktzah because Ben Hashmashin was inaccessible? The answer is no for two reasons. One, it was accessible through a guard. But even if not for that, it's an external consideration. It's a side point. Nothing wrong with the food itself.
Wait, do you need
this
for the wine
or
for the food?
All right. Now, on Shabbos, a person may not do something called, now another term, terms of you, be mevatel kli me'echono, which is Hebrew again. Mevatel kli me'echono means cancel a vessel from its preparedness, literally. I mean, before Shabbos was prepared, it was prepared as the opposite of muktzah. Mukha and muktzah are opposite. And now on Shabbos, you will cause something muktzah to fall on it. Now it will become unmovable. And as a result of that, so you're going to be in, you will have taken something which is not muktzah and de facto made it muktzah. That's not permitted on Shabbos. Hold on, relax. Let's say you have a candle which is dripping. A wax candle is dripping. You want to put something underneath it, some kind of utensil to catch the wax. You're not allowed to do that because that utensil becomes prohibited to move. Why? Because the wax will be adhere to it, and as a result, you cannot put it there because that utensil was near before movable, and now it becomes unmovable.
So you shouldn't use a tray?
No, of course use a tray. Put the tray there before Shabbos.
Before, you can't do it on Shabbos.
On Shabbos.
You can't put lead because people are...
Okay.
The table wasn't up before, now it's going to be most up.
Once the wax is on top of it, you can't move it. It has wax on it, you can't move it.
Well,
how could you get something underneath
the first step?
For Shabbos.
That's what it says, just underneath.
How would you be able to put something underneath on Shabbat? How do you?
You slide it next to the, right next to the
camera. You can't put their own child. From before you can.
But it's a way to avoid the problem. Save the furniture. The way, the trick. Yeah, the trick. What's the trick? The trick is take a utensil and put something else on the utensil. So you put a salt shaker on the utensil. So now, after the wax falls on the utensil, the utensil will be movable. How so? There's something else on it. That's what he quotes over here. This is only the small print, by the way. Wait a minute. Break. He quotes the Mishnah Brura. Says that it's okay. It's in Reish Samatei, Mishnah Brura is talking about. 1 minute, give me another minute. Then he says maybe it's only permissible what he calls the Mokom Hefse. It's going to save the ruination of the furniture. Otherwise, perhaps, it would not be allowed.
Carefully what you do.
What does that mean? If it's a kind of a situation which is something set aside for a mitzvah, and here's an example. This is the most common case. Sukkah, or the sukkah decoration. They are mukta, you can't move them on Shabbos. It's very happy, they often fall down. You've got to leave it there. You can't pick it up. Leave a name on the floor. Don't move it because you're in violation of books. Now, wait a minute. Same thing on Sukkot. You have the Lulav and the Arabas and the Hadassah. You can't move them on Shabbos. Set aside for a minute, but that means it does not apply on Shabbos. Shofar and Rosh Hashanah, which falls out on Shabbos, is a problem. Less of a problem, but a problem nonetheless. These are complex halachos. So we discussed last week. So I thought those should be given today with what we call Chesaron Kis, but it's very expensive. So far, we've discussed what is Mukta. We haven't at all discussed, let's assume something already is Mukta. Now what do you do about it? Well, that's one of the tricks. I keep talking about the tricks. I haven't given away any secrets yet. Let's start giving away the secrets. What are the tricks? How do you move books on Shabbos? So now, can we pull out an entire arsenal of shtick? How do you get around the books of problems? You can't get around it all the time, but in some cases, there are ways to get around the books of problems. Very important to know what they are, because things always come up. Always, all the time. One, is that a person May. Move the mukta in an abnormal fashion. Called kalachayad, behind his hand. And in the ways you ordinarily would not do it. You could blow mukta, you could kick mukta, you could elbow mukta, you could back of the hand mukta. They're called shinoy, abnormal ways of moving mukta. Let's say you find that $1,000 bill we were talking about last time. I want that $1,000 bill. I just can't stand there the whole shopping store with my foot on it. So what you can do is you can kick it, assuming it's an A-room, of course. You can kick it bit by bit. Kick it, kick it. Yes? Totally mukta. Totally mukta. Okay, that's called tiltul. In other words, it's called tiltul begupo, for the body, in an abnormal way. I should add, if the normal way if you use your foot, then you can't use your foot. Okay, I don't know. What is your foot? Let's say those who hold that a ball is mukta. Some hold that a ball is mukta. So you can't kick the soccer ball. That's an abnormal, not very normal. That wouldn't be allowed, yes? Doesn't matter. For worse than the worst, doesn't matter. Okay, great. So now we solve the mukta problem. Whenever you have something which you just have to move, it will break if you move it out normally. Now what do you do? So here we have a very important and somewhat complex concept called tildul bin hatzad. Tildul bin hatzad is best translated as indirect moving. What does indirect moving mean? I don't touch the mukta item. Oh no. I don't touch the mukta item at all. I touch a different item. And by touching the different item, I indirectly move the mukta item. Well, what's the din? What's the also with the mukta? Answer? a double moving. You're moving two things. You're moving object A directly, and object M for Mukta, indirectly. So why are you moving this combo of A M? Why? Because of A? Because of M? Well, maybe you just want the place where M happens to be situated. So in two out of three cases, it's all right. If you want A, or if you want the place, does a double moving. You're moving two things. You're moving object A directly, and object M for Mukta, indirectly. So why are you moving this combo of A and M? Why? Because of A? Because of M? Well, maybe you just want the place where M happens to be situated. So in two out of three cases, it's all right. If you want A, or if you want the place, then it's all right. If you want M, then it's not allowed. The tilkum ben atzad, the same in Hebrew, is mutter l'tzorech davar hamutter, or l'tzorech mekomo. It's prohibited l'tzorech davar ha'os. Again, permissible for the purpose of its place, or the purpose of the permissible item, but it's prohibited if it's for the purpose of the mukta item. Is it a shinoi? It's a very good question. Not necessarily. The shinoi of using your elbow is much more significant than a shinoi of indirect. I'll give you a perfect example. Let's say I have a pen, okay? And the pen is mukta. The pen is on my book. And I go like this. So I'm moving the pen, right? See my pen? Can you see it?
Yeah.
Indirectly. Then I have no, I have a plate, and on the plate there were some peels, which I'm moving to, let's say, eggshells, nutshells. So I'm moving the peel on the plate, that's completely normal. No. A bus is only if it was Ben Ben Ashmash, we spoke about this last week.
Right,
it wasn't there. But there after Sarah fell there on Shabbat. I got it there before Shabbat. It's seven conditions, it's in the old conditions. That's called Tiltul Min Hatzad. This relates directly to last week's Shia. Remember, we have seven conditions. It has to be all seven in order to be considered a bus. So let's say it's not a bus. One of the seven conditions was absent. We still run into a problem. How are you permitted to move the bottom thing if you are indirectly moving the top one? The answer is you're not. Not because of buses, but because of the indirect moving of the top thing. Unless your intention is either for the place or for the bottom thing. You need the book. I have to put something up, the bottle. I have to put something up the book to book. But the pen is there. So I know, if the problem is I don't know what the bin is until I get rid of the pen. Problem. But let's say another bit. So I know it's okay, but I want something else up. I go, I pick up the book to book. I want, what do I do? I shouldn't even pick it up. What I should really do? Watch this. Have any luck? Watch. That's called ni'ur. Minaher. It's the shape. That's the preferred way. Just make do ni'ur. Dump the pen. Only one problem. What if I dump it in the pen will fall into my soup or fall into some other thing which I can't have in there.
Watch where you go.
Then it gets complicated. The pen's going to ruin something by, or even if maybe it's going to break, it's kind of, then I'm allowed to pick it up. Watch this. So I get to the comfort of my drawer, and then I go, boom. That's called Tiltul Min Hatzad. I'm picking it up because I want the book. I want the book. And then, to the details, in some cases it's permissible to not just to go like this, but even to the case in the Gemara, that's why it's tricky. The case in the Gemara, if you're going to go like this, it's a rock on a barrel. If you go like this, guess what's going to happen? The rock will break the other barrels. So the other reason you can't tilt it is not because of the rock, because of the barrel. Then it's permissible to pick it up, the Gemara says, go past all the barrels, then dump it. You see, even indirect moving is only permissible under very limited circumstances. If you need the place, or you need the davar hamutter. You need the barrel which has the rock on it, you need the book which has the pen on it. Yes?
I don't know what you said, but is it better to dump it off the book or to like kick it off with your elbow?
Well, you can kick it off with your elbow, but it's not a problem.
Which is better?
On your elbow, probably better. Okay. Yes? Hot luck. Is it mukta or not? Close your eyes and find out. I would say it's mukta. Because if you don't know what's in it, then you probably will not have fulfill the seven conditions. So if you open it and it did fulfill the seven conditions for some reason, and now bust, you know what you do? Elbow is closed. I thought you were just going to get rid of it. Okay. So let's go. So let's say you have, here's the case. You have on your table mukta. You crack nuts, you have nutshells, walnut shells. That's not, no one would use walnut shells. Not fit for a dog. Eggshells. Not fit for a dog. Real mukzah. What do you do with it? So we'll get to later some other trick. But let's see about the other trick. For the moment, what do you do with it? You pick it up on the plate upon which it fell. Right? And you can throw it in the garbage. Right? The plate on which it fell. Let's see if on the table was directed. No problem. You take a knife. With the knife, you sweep it into the plate. That's called tilting the knife. And then the plate goes into the garbage. The plate, you carry it and sort of let it go into the garbage can. It's fine. That's called tilting the minute silence throw up the combo. There's no better place. You can't dump it right out of the living room floor. Where you dump it? You have to do it because you want it. You care for the shelves. You care for your house. That's all right. It's called throw up the combo. No, that's cool.
So what if you bring in the garbage can?
Well, another question, you gotta go to the garbage can. The garbage can goes. We'll come to that later. We will come to it later. Here, you gotta sweep the floor on Shabbos. You sweep the floor, what do you get? Nutshells and eggshells, bones and all
those. Same thing of sweeping, taking the knife.
But what are you doing? It's tilting it outside. And it's throwing the colo. It's for the floor. You want the floor to be clean. So therefore, that is considered to be tilting the outside the tzorach makomo, and it is permissible. It is permissible. That's how we assume. Permissible. We mentioned before. You have a candlesticks on a table or on a tray. So it's mutter to move the candlestick. It didn't become a bust. Other things there. It's mutter to move the table or the tray. And he goes further than what I said. He says it's mutter to move the table to a different place, and we don't demand of you that you shake the candlesticks off the table. And if you shake the candles off the table, the candlesticks will break. As I said before, it's only permissible because maybe it's in your way. He goes further and says it will be permissible even if the alternative would be that the candlesticks would break. Let me just give you a quote, 1 second. Oh! How do you like that? So I was Machavatur Bikinagin. Bikinagin is like me. That should be prohibited to move the table indirectly if the alternative exists to knock the candles over and all things that go wrong is to break the candlestick. That's called a Tsarap Dabar Asr. So Bikinagin is like me, but the other poskim say it's permissible. Who's the other poskim? Well, the base mayor, the Rav Avraham, the Bach, the Sharatzin, I guess everyone holds up wrong. Okay, so we'll still have to put the rules. Yes. Let's see what the book says. The more logical point was that the only time you're allowed to move something indirectly is for the plates or for the table itself. So over here you're moving the table an extra 25 feet, for example, only because you don't want to tilt it and thereby the candlesticks are going to break. That was new to me. I'm sorry. apparently, since you're primary, you really want the table. That's what you want. You want the table. And therefore, hold on a second. I don't see this directly. He writes as follows. Indirect movement is permitted when the purpose of the movement is not for the benefit of the muktzah. That's true, but the fact that you're moving it as opposed to tilting it right now, knocking the candles off, right? So the candle will be falling, the candle will break. He does discuss the case. Okay, I don't see the offer. It's a dispute. Okay, enough. I guess you could probably be lenient. So I'm being Rabbi Kivego against the crowd here. I just thought on my own logic we're going to Rabbi Kivego. Yes. Paper, plate, it's not a country. It's a perfectly valid slave romance. That's not books. Absolutely. No way. That's not books at all.
So anything
that's supposed to be books? Not books. No, not at all. Not at all. Now, sorry?
Can you repeat what she said?
Paper, plate, and not books. Next. Okay. You should not pick up your child if the child is carrying something with his books up. How do you like that one? Try to get the guys to tell me. Oh, that's what Shlomo Zalman says. Sally asked the question. Why isn't it considered Tiltum and Asad to serve Abraham Mutter? The answer is, I think, you have an alternative. Just tell us to dump it. Doesn't work. Then you can, I guess you have no choice. Okay. Right, that's correct. Should be, but it's not. Mr. Shlomo Zalman is like, gosh, it's a bit worse over here for whatever reason. Now, what about these eggshells? I thought there's another trick. One more trick that the Gemara has. The knockout looks like. It's called Graf Shel Rei, literally a bedpan. A bedpan. I may use that expression. A bedpan. Graf Shel Rei. It's a bedpan. None of you boys are any more graphic than that. So in this case, they made a special dispensation. Special dispensation. They said, even though it really should be Muktzah, but because it's so disgusting, people don't like it, and it disturbs their own Shabbos, they allow you to move it around and get it out on Shabbos. So, this could be something which looks terrible, smells terrible, things of this nature are in the category of Rosh Hashanah. Oh, some posts can say that the garbage, if you want to get the garbage out, you just can't stand it, it's smelly, or it's very dirty, or it's disgusting. Some suggest that the garbage may be removed on Shabbos based on the category of Graf Shel Rei. Can't assume there's no Erev problem or any problem of this nature. Hold on. When garbage is foul smelling or otherwise fierce, it may be removed under this exemption. Even empty garbage cans from foul smell may be moved under this exemption. So you have, these are you know, situations which are considered to be Graf Shel Rei, if it's in fact it's disgusting to you. Another example. bowls, shells, peels, pits left on the table, if they are so numerous and so placed to be disturbing, discomforting, or embarrassing to him, they be removed directly. The truth is, it's better, why should we do it? It's better to do what we call filthu min hatzad. So in my house, in a new chumrah, I learned this seriously, and then came up with a new chumrah now. When we clear the table, we have grapefruit. So the question whether the grapefruit peels are used are good for anybody. Grapefruit peels? What do you say? What do you say? Grapefruit peels.
Yeah.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, people like
orange peels, yeah. Peels, hold on. 1 minute. Peels. He says as follows. Peels which are only suitable for animals are not booked on Shabbos. Now, I imagine that these things are usually fit for animals, are they not? Hold on. Whoops! He doesn't like it over here. He writes as follows, for the Tree of God. And our emotions are the same thing. Dover Shane Royal Shum Adam. He is a clover for the chaya, and it's only fit for animals. If you plan to give it to an animal, it's okay. If not, it's not okay. So it seems to me that these peels might be considered in the mukta, even though it's fit for an animal.
We don't give
animals, we throw it out. So therefore it seems to me that this chumra has a basis. So you can find those who handle it directly, you can't fault them. They consider it to be graf sharei, it's repulsive, it's disgusting. But it's preferred to avoid that dispensation. Therefore, it's better to remove them on the plate. If you remove it on the plate, then it's called tiltul min atzad, the tzorach makomo, which is permissible. So it's better to do it that way. So the truth of the matter is that this chumrah was introduced from my house, and my wife likes it better that way. She likes it more polite to remove the dishes one by one, with one grapefruit instead of my kids do it, pile it up like Eiffel Tower. And then one falls off, you know, 10 fall down. So this new chumrah was very expedient, that it's better to take them one at a time. So we're trying to introduce this chumrah in my house, so that it'll be good for everybody concerned. Okay? So if you think it's good to introduce it, you can do it as well. Yes?
That's the garbage.
Yeah.
You can take it out with what?
If it's repulsive.
Even if there's
no way? No, I didn't say that.
Oh. No one's taking it out.
Take it out, put it in the side of the house, in the garden. Sure. Yes. That's a good question. Children are starving in Europe. Mm-hmm. But if it's such a small amount that it's just completely negligible, then I would consider it to be unusable. Mm-hmm. By the way, speaking of children in Europe, a lot of our garbage cans are not cooked at all. You can have a feast from our garbage cans. Mm-hmm. Really, people throw it in or... unbelievable, you find it. Unbelievable. When you find garbage. Entire meals, you know. They have a half of, a big piece of, whatever it may be, chicken. Throw the rest of the garbage. That's good stuff. So it could be that's not looking for that reason. Garbage. Possibly. I believe you mentioned that thing about raw food, like raw fish, raw meat, being booked for the problem in your freezer. Did we mention that last week?
No.
No, I didn't mention that. Raw food is booked on Shabbos because it's inaccessible. Pretty inaccessible. You can't use it. You only use it just to cook it. And you can't cook on Shabbos. So therefore, the raw food is booked on Shabbos. I'm talking about raw food which has to be cooked. I don't mean raw apples, raw chicken.
Which if you open your freezer and
it's a big problem, they start falling out. Yeah, I've done it, you have to do it, have to be like a karate. You open it, do it, you go, vroom, the elbow here, and put your elbows and stop the chickens from rolling out. Help! People, everybody else put their elbows in.
I was like, okay.
Once you pull that on the floor, I have to kick it up to the back of the freezer. That's a big problem. That's a big problem. There's a line of freezer probably before Shabbos. Yeah, you do the trick. You have to kick it like this. You have to kick it like a football from the floor up to the freezer again. That's not so easy. You got to kick it up and you have a couple of guys shimmy it up to the side. I guess imagine this is a scene. Just going to try to get it up back to the freezer. Split the freezer on top of what we have.
You wouldn't be able to shuttle it
onto the... No, because that's a tiltle bit outside the Tzorech, Dover, Osir. That's exactly the perfect case. You can't take a dustpan, pick up the raw chicken and put it into the freezer again. That's a tiltle bit outside for the prohibited item, for the chicken. And you could argue that the chicken doesn't belong on the floor either. You trip over it, but for that, you can just kick it to the side. But you have no right to go pick it up so hard. So let's put it. It's not about halacha required. It's not about halacha. Draw it right on paper, right? It's not about halacha. Let's get rid of it. Yeah?
I just have one, let's say, first I just went to the book where it says that you can't do that. Where is it? I think it was worth it.
Can't eat raw food. Another mission for that. You go ask your cooking teacher. Can't eat raw food. Well, where's the Tan Shulchan Aruch? You can't move raw food. That's a good question. That's a legitimate question. Hey, what's the next question?
And then the question was, let's say someone had, this may sound funny, but I don't know if someone has done this yet, that was like frozen vegetables or something like that.
So that's like one thing. For that raw chicken,
no, but
here we go. Raw meat. Take a look. Raw meat. Raw meat. He's quoting sources outside the Shulchan Aruch. That's the problem. All the sources are indirect. No. Corpse is killed. Mishnah Berurah, okay, let's say Mishnah Berurah. Siman Shin Ches, Sifkot Kuf Lav Zayin. Kuf Lav Zayin. Okay? So look it up to find it. Yeah, Mishnah Berurah. That's correct. Raw pasha is an edible. You can't eat raw pasha, can you? Raw pasta. Let's say it's in. Oh, very good question. Let's say you have the box of noodles. And it's in the way, and you want to get the cake, the cookies behind it. What do? You know the answer. Two choices. Either elbow it out of the way, or if you can't, take a knife, push it out of the way. It's called tiltul min hatzad with tzorach makomo. You don't want it, you just want to get behind it. So either of those two tricks will work. Yes. That's okay.
Yeah.
Well,
even though,
even
though, like,
it's frozen? Sure. Come up with the other. It's fit for use. No problem. Here. This is fish which is raw and not salted, is Asa Shulchan Aruch. You don't need a Mishnah Berurah. Shulchan Aruch is Shin Chesif Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis. Mishnah Berurah is Kuf Kav Zayin. Got it somewhere. Okay, yes.
So?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Good question, in principle, but in reality, you need to take a knife. Yeah, I use frozen crab stuff. Yeah, it's okay. So, all right. Now, we have to conclude the unit of Muksa with a discussion of Nola. Now, Nola itself is a major dispute. Have you ever heard of the famous Mishnah about Yom called Beitza? Beitza Shenol the Yomtiv. Have you ever heard of that Mishnah, the famous Mishnah? So, egg laid on Yom Tov, the Shabbat, a big dispute. One way we most post can say nowadays is on Shabbat, Nola is Mutter. Nola is Mutter. Because it's only possible, like I'm Shimon. I'm focusing on the Mishnah. But Nola Gomor says Tosfos, absolute Nola, which we call a change of state, there it's worse. What's Nola Gomor? He wasn't in the world at all. The ashes came from a wood which burned on Shabbos. Or you have so ice that melted, we also consider to be Ramoh. It is ice that melts to be in the category of Nola. It's called Muksa. Shulchan Aruch doesn't accept that, but the Rambam seems to accept it as being in the category of Nola. That's why it's very important you have ice. You can discuss it away last time.
Wait, so it's plain?
Let the ice melt into water, into soda. But then it's just called bottle. Bottle from the very beginning. So therefore it's okay. But if the ice melts into an empty bowl, and all you have now is ice water, that ice water is in the category, according to the Rambam, of Muktza. That's considered to be Muktza. Serious problem. We assume Nola Gomer is Muktza, and presumably, this change of state from a solid to a liquid is considered Nola Gomer. Based on the Gemara, that gas to a liquid is also Nola Gomer. Apple falling from a tree is good for a different reason. Special Zera called Payla Shadashim. Special for a different reason. Why? Because the first thing kind of whole discussion. Okay? Now. That's not Nola. No, that's not. This is before, it just came out. So that's not considered to be Nola. Usually prohibited, but once in a very rare case it's permissible. Usually it's not allowed. Not allowed. Many other examples, there's so much to talk about, okay, I'm only up to the ends. But, time is up. We'll stop now, finish the next... I'm not sure.